Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Considering that this time yesterday, so 24 hours ago, it was -1 in my neighborhood, -1 degree Fahrenheit. And with the wind chills, it was -12. I took a screenshot of the weather on my phone so I could freak out my husband with it because he does not like the cold. It's 5 degrees in my neighborhood right now. That is a major improvement.
All right.
It's amazing that 5 can feel warm.
For some reason, I'm not feeling it this week. I don't know why.
You're not feeling the warm?
Not feeling the cold. I don't know why.
Oh, well, are you staying inside?
Probably.
What's it been like where you live? Because in my neighborhood, we've had the deep freeze. Seriously, the wind chills have been below zero during the daytime even, but we've not gotten out of the single digits during the daytime for the past couple days.
Yeah, it's been cold. Whenever I get back to my home, it's usually I'm busy, so I don't pay attention to it.
Gotcha. Running around.
I've missed it. Because I said to myself before I came into work tonight, I said, you know, I know it's cold, but I'm not feeling it. I don't know why.
You know what keeps you from being cold? Cleaning the house. Vacuuming keeps you from being cold.
I was cleaning
right away.
The house. I have been cleaning the house because usually I try to whenever my daughter is playing somewhere else. Or she's sleeping. I try to straighten up and do everything I need to do. That usually takes 24 hours to do it in 2 hours. and I try to do that. So yeah.
Nice.
I must have got caught up in all mm-hmm. that to avoid the cold.
Cleaning burns calories. That's proven. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning. It's your Thursday. We're glad to have you with us. A little QB news, championship Sunday style, coming up in the next... Well, coming up a half hour from now. Oh, no. Coming up in the next half hour. We'll do it in our next segment, so about 20 minutes from now. We are keeping our eyes on women's semifinals of the Australian Open, though Madison Keys and Iga Swiatek, they are coming up. They're in the next semifinal, so a little bit later on. They were supposed to start around 5 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. But the other match is still ongoing, though Sabalenka, I forgot her first name, she's already won the first set and has a big advantage in the second set as well. Shoot, why can't I remember her first name? That's what I get for tuning in and tuning out when it comes to tennis, just doing the majors.
Parachute in and out?
Parachute in and out. Well, when it comes to some of the international players, yeah, there's not a dominant force on the women's scene like there was going back to the days of Serena Williams. And so it feels like it's a different person every day. And I'm not saying that it's not important or that it doesn't matter and they're not incredible players, only that it does feel like we're constantly interchanging different European players. And so let me see if I can find her name.
I have it. I don't know if I can pronounce it.
Arnia.
Yeah.
Arnia Sabalenka.
Yeah.
Arnia. Yay, Madison Keys. She's the American coming up in the next one. And then this time tomorrow, it'll be Novak Djokovic, Jannik Sinner, Ben Shelton, who's another American, into the semifinals. Pretty cool to have two Americans still standing in the final four in both the men's and women's brackets. We're also watching some of the dominoes drop in the NFL coaching carousel. I keep wondering about the Cowboys. It's become my new favorite comedic obsession. Which way will Jerry Jones go? That in some convincing manner he's able to try to sell, like selling oceanfront property in Arizona, that whatever he comes up with is a better option than paying Mike McCarthy. Right, that's better. Whatever he comes up with, unless it's Pete Carroll, it's not better. You're taking a step back. But also, how goofy would it be, and this is not a knock on Brian Schottenheimer, but how goofy would it be if you hire his offensive coordinator, who didn't even call plays, to be your next head coach to replace Mike McCarthy? Is that because you can get him even cheaper?
Yep, that's exactly what it is. It's all about Jerry Jones and our organization. It's all about him. The organization doesn't run without Jerry Jones. That's the thought process. And any coach could come in and coach this team. He did that back with Jimmy Johnson. So this is a mindset he has had for years. And you've seen the names that have come through Dallas. Aside from like Bill Parcells, which is a rarity, you're getting a lot of Dave Campos,
Jason Garrett.
You're going to get Brian Schottenheimer coming in an interview.
Or Kellen Moore.
Robert Sala.
Kellen Moore, who was also there and didn't quite work with Mike McCarthy, but at least they know him. But a first-year head coach. And I'm not sure that in that a locker room with so many veterans, not that Kellen and Dak don't have a good relationship, but Dak's a professional. He'll work with anyone. You give him a coach and they'll figure it out. I just think it's interesting that he didn't want to give Mike McCarthy the years or the money to make him commensurate with his peers in the top 10 in the NFL, when we know the Cowboys earn money hand over fist, really anywhere they go. But now you think you're going to find someone for less money who's a better option to lead you forward? No, there's a reason why the team hasn't won in 30 years.
Think about where the Cowboys were a year ago when McCarthy had that horrible playoff game
against the Packers.
Against the Packers. Yeah. And we're here thinking, hey, Mike McCarthy should stay in Dallas. It shows you how good of a job he did last season with what he had, with an injured quarterback and just working through adversity.
Not having a run game this year and having the number of injuries. I honestly thought they were going to stick with him, but I understand why McCarthy would want out. Although I'm also wondering what's next for McCarthy. I don't like the narrative. No one wants Mike McCarthy. That's about as accurate as the narrative that no one wants Bill Belichick. And that's why he had to go to college, because nobody wanted Bill Belichick. I think if you're the Bears and you have the opportunity to get Ben Johnson, you do it, which is great. People are raving about what they heard from Johnson on day number one as he's introduced. And we have not found, we're efforting, but we have not found the Caleb Williams audio. I can give you the quotes. He was there along with DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and some other offensive players. Caleb trains in Florida in the offseason, and he was there in Chicago, I bet he was cold, for this introductory press conference. And Ben Johnson raved about Caleb, of course, and he's got a plan in place to get a plan in place.
This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope, we're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
Calibrate. What a good word. That's a terrific way to talk about it. So we're not starting with a playbook and asking Caleb to adapt to it. We are building one around him. Isn't that what every quarterback wants to hear? That's the idea, though, with Ben Johnson. He's big into analytics. He's also creative. He's innovative. Those are two words that you hear about him. He will take pieces and move them around in places where maybe they've not been before. But he also understands how to get the best out of his quarterbacks, and Jared Goff being a recent example. So what was the incentive then to take the job, Ben?
There's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision.
Wink, wink.
He is a phenomenal talent that had, as many quarterbacks do, an up and down rookie year.
Well, that's true, in large part because of the offensive line, which is something that Ben Johnson noted and does say will be a priority. We know, and we've talked about, Caleb was sacked more than any other quarterback in the NFL last year. He was under siege a lot. And it didn't work out right away with DJ Moore. They didn't develop that quick rapport. There's no easy shortcut, or really, there is no way to determine how quickly you find a rapport with a receiver. It's a lot of work, of course, away from practices even. You know, how much during the course of Tom Brady's career and Peyton Manning's career did we hear about them working off-season and inviting receivers to their homes? And we know that Caleb put in the work. A lot of his receivers talk about that, but it just didn't quite work out, or they didn't quite find that rhythm initially. It took a while. DJ Moore talked about it late in the season, that it had been a little frustrating. They were working hard at it, just hadn't quite developed that rapport. But with the right person who's calling the shots, the right person who can put Caleb in the best position to succeed. It's funny because it sounds so corporate boardroom-ish, and maybe it's a little bit gimmicky, or it sounds gimmicky, but that's so true. I don't think it's quite as bad as your best version of yourself. That phrase annoys me. It's one of my pet peeves. I understand the concept behind it, but do we have to hear it from every single public figure and athlete on the planet? I just want to be the best version of myself.
And it's usually from, I've heard it from people that don't have any adversity in front of them at the time. It's usually from somebody that's on a red carpet somewhere, and that's how I usually see it.
Athletes use it too. Two phrases or two trends that I'll never use. One is LOL. Also, don't know why it drives me batty. LOL. I'm a fan of haha. I'll do the haha or the ha or the laughing so hard I'm crying emoji. But I don't LOL. I can't. This is before I got married, of course. But if a dude would send me a text with LOL in it, that was it. We were done.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
So no LOL, and no, I'm trying to be the best version of myself, as opposed to being the worst version of yourself. Again, I understand the concept.
Now, if you heard that, you'd be impressed, right?
Yeah, if you're trying to be the worst version of yourself. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, two sides of the same person. And we all have that potential, many sides of the same person. So, yes, Ben Johnson really impressing a lot of people, needs to find an offensive line. There are questions about him jumping from offensive coordinator with the Lions to head coach. Why does he think he will be successful?
Every step of my journey, whether it's quality control, whether it was position coach, whether it was coordinator, I have found a way to change myself to be the best in that particular job. And so now that the job requirements are changing and I'm no longer just coaching an offensive player or an offensive unit, this is the entire team. And the good news is this, I am a football coach. So I will be able to change and adjust accordingly.
I am a football coach. I can change and adjust accordingly to be the best version of myself. Now I'm just being snarky. It's the final hour of the show. What will the culture look like with the Bears? Now, he called them a sleeping giant in the NFC North.
At the end of the day, we are going to lean on a professional work ethic. We're going to learn how to be pros here in this building. We'll be deliberate and intentional with what we do, and then we'll get out of the building and off our feet.
I like that part. We'll get out of the building and off our feet. Does that mean when you're out of the building, you get to put your feet up? Kick back, Max, and relax?
Yeah, we'll get the rest and treatment.
I like the rest part.
Yeah.
I could use a little more of that. How come our bosses don't say to us, get out of here and get off your feet? Why?
They could say the first part.
Well, they don't have to tell me twice. They don't have to tell me twice to get out of here. But to get off our feet? How come? How come we don't get that?
There's a lot of questions that have subparts.
Yeah, it's the side of pro sports we don't talk about, the rest. Just kidding. Of course, they need rest. They need recovery. Well, every athlete talks about it.
They're going to have a challenge in that division, and you're going to need a lot of rest and recovery to play that division.
However, they have the quarterback, which is a part that I really appreciate, right? So we'll see about Ben Johnson, but people believe he's got all the tools. He's been the most sought after candidate for 2 years in a row, not just because of what the Lions have done offensively, what Jared Goff has done under his tutelage, but also because he's impressed people in his interviews. The Commanders wanted him last year, and he decided to stay in Detroit. Could you imagine? That'd be interesting. No Dan Quinn, but Ben Johnson instead. So there's a lot there. There's substance there. When you look at the coaches, Matt LaFleur, he's a keeper. Dan Campbell, he's a keeper. Kevin O'Connell, clearly a keeper, just got the contract extension. Now Ben Johnson, and they have a quarterback. Just out of curiosity, this is kind of an interesting question. Who's the best quarterback in the NFC North? I saw your face.
It's probably Jordan Love.
Wow.
I think. Oh, no.
Interesting. You're not going Sam Darnold.
No.
I guess we could say J.J. McCarthy, but we haven't seen him on the field yet.
Actually, no. It's Goff. It's Goff.
It's Goff?
It's Goff.
And after four turnovers in their last big game?
Yeah, because they're the team to beat still. And Love will get there. I think. All right.
Love will always win.
Right. Love will always conquer.
Love conquers all.
if Love, in terms of long term, you go with Love. In terms of winning the next couple years, go Goff.
I'm going Caleb Williams.
Okay.
We have barely scratched the surface with Caleb.
Need to see the system, though, with Johnson in action.
Yes. The Johnson system.
The Johnson.
I'm telling you, I think what we've seen from him has been really impressive. All those guys are great. I think Jordan Love is terrific, even though it was a tough end of the season. I agree with you about Jared Goff. He's got a couple more good years. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in, though. I think Dan Campbell can have his pick of the litter right now, whoever he wants as an OC, if he doesn't promote from his own staff. And I certainly believe that Sam Darnold had what should be a comeback player of the year season, but I don't know what they have with J.J. McCarthy. So to me, Caleb Williams and the Bears quarterback situation is in the best spot. Although by the time he's ready for his first free agent deal, quarterbacks could be making $70 million a year.
Yeah, they might be making more than that, to be honest.
Wowzers. That's interesting to think about. Toughest division in football, but none of them won a playoff game.
Well, yeah. And a lot of spotlight is going to be on Dan Campbell, especially with how he's been doing in the postseason.
Well, and the fact that, they did get to the NFC Championship a year ago, but especially given losing both coordinators, remember what happened to the Eagles when they lost both their coordinators after making the Super Bowl. Now, to be fair, Nick Sirianni hired two guys that shouldn't have been in those positions, and I think Dan Campbell, like I said, can have his pick of the litter and will hire different people. But I do think that that's one challenge in addition to getting everybody back healthy.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Real quick. They also lost their defensive line coach, too. So they've lost three coaches, and that was to the Patriots. So get your resumes into the Detroit Lions if you want your
pitfalls of success. It is one of the pitfalls of success. But I think we should do a poll. Let's do a poll. Who is the best quarterback in the NFC North? So you can find all of our polls at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. Good to connect with you on this Thursday morning. We're getting close. By the way, Arina Sabalenka has moved into the final at the Australian Open for the women. She is the top seed, and she's had great success down under. Madison Keys is about to get on the court as the American taking on Iga. And I know I've said her name wrong for years. Swiatek. Iga Swiatek, I think is how you say it. Right. It's one of those moments where you're just exposed. Coming up, we've got, well, let's push QB news to the back just because we got a shorter segment straight ahead. But we also have a hire in New York. And what will the Titans do with the overall number one draft pick? It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
Mac Jones back to throw out of the shotgun set. Looking downfield. Throws one left. Sauce Gardner. Interception. Inside the 15-yard line. Sauce Gardner finally has his first of the year. And that will put this game on ice for the Jets.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Bob was choosing. Man, the Jets finished up on, I suppose you could call it a little bit of a high note, with Aaron Rodgers' 400th touchdown pass and a win, kind of. But at that point, foregone conclusion. The season was done. They're a disaster. They needed not just a head coach, but a general manager. And I would say, true to form with the Jets, they seem to do it backwards. Instead of hiring their general manager first, they have brought Aaron Glenn back into the fold. Aaron let it be known through his camp that the Jets was his preferred destination. Did you say the Jets were? The Jets, the New York Jets was, is his preferred. I don't know if I referred to him as plural or singular. The Jets organization is his preferred destination. And so he does get the job. He's a Bill Parcells disciple. He played with the Jets and they wanted someone that they felt like had some background with New York. I kind of feel like the background with New York might actually be a hindrance, not a help. But you should take a guy who wants to be there. Manti Te'o. Remember Manti Te'o? He was on Sirius XM NFL radio raving about Aaron Glenn.
He's a man of his word. You know, he'll never, in a business in the NFL where you can tell a player a lot of things, you can promise him a lot of things if you want to, but until you actually do what you said you're going to do, you'd be surprised, and you probably know this more than most people, Bob, that that's not really the case in the NFL. But a guy like Aaron Glenn, where his word was his bond, like that's AG. And whenever you have that type of leadership, AG just always brought that fire. He played for the Saints once upon a time, so he had that perspective of what it was like to be on the turf with those cleats on, what the communication is like. So he had that perspective, but he also could connect with you as a player on the different challenges that you may go through throughout a week. And he was always there for you, always a guy that would listen, a guy that could also connect and understand and empathize. But he's just one of those guys that, no, I loved AG. His knowledge of the game of football, not only from a secondary standpoint, but from a holistic standpoint and understanding defensive football, offensive football, and how to structure defenses to really combat offenses.
A high endorsement, a long endorsement, but an extensive endorsement from Manti Te'o, who played for the Saints. And now Aaron Glenn is going to take over as the Jets head coach and becomes yet another defensive coordinator to first-time head coach. So three of their last four hires have been exactly this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Todd Bowles, D coordinator, first-time head coach. Then they had Adam Gase in there. He was on the offensive side of the ball in Miami, if you remember.
He claimed to be.
Right. It didn't last very long. To be fair, he didn't really have a quarterback when he was there much. And then they went to what they've got. Well, the guy they just fired, Robert Saleh, who came from the San Francisco, I almost said Giants, the San Francisco 49ers as their DC, and they fired him in week five. He was a first-year head coach, and I would say initially there was quite a learning curve from him. He had a bunch of young coaches around him, too, and so they were all learning on the job. Now he brings in Aaron Glenn, who admittedly is a Bill Parcells disciple. Parcells raves about him. He also coached under Parcells a little bit, and now he leaves Detroit to come to New York. You want to talk about two completely different cultures? Oh, my gosh. I don't know what this means for the GM. I don't know what it means for the quarterback position, but Aaron Glenn comes in as yet another guy in the same prototype, except he has Jets experience, and I think that's a big deal. If not Aaron Glenn, I swear they were going to bring back Rex Ryan.
Yeah, because Woody Johnson's experience is key with the New York Jets. Forget about winning on the field. If you can conquer Woody Johnson, you are in the money.
Now, we've got a couple of other jobs that are still open, right? The Raiders being one of those. They wanted Ben Johnson. He chose Chicago instead. Max Crosby is on Let's Go every week on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and he's weighed in about the Raiders coaching search.
Everyone's trying to win. You know what I mean? The intent is not changing. You know, everyone wants to win. That's no secret. But it's about stability. So whoever that guy is going to be, who they bring in, I know that's, you know, in the back of their mind. They want to have somebody that's going to be here for the long haul, get to build a real culture, build something that could be sustained over a long period of time. So, that's what it looks like for me. But, yeah, I've had a lot of turnover for sure. I've had a lot of different D-line coaches, a lot of different coordinators. I've seen a lot in the league. But at the end of the day, for me, like, that's all that really matters is winning, having a chance to win, being these type of games at this time of the year. And getting a gold jacket. You know what I mean? That's all that matters to me.
Max Crosby, who is committed to the Raiders. I mean, we hear from our insiders that he does not want to go anywhere else. He wants to be there. But, man, what a mistake they made with Josh McDaniels. I could have told you that was going to happen. Josh, by the way, headed back to New England, where he is a fine offensive coordinator, especially when he has Tom Brady as his quarterback, but not a head coach. And that's an example of a guy who's had multiple opportunities, right? He went to Denver the first time. It was his ego versus Jay Cutler's. It was his ego versus the players. He traded away their two best players within a year. Then he goes back to New England. Remember, he took the job in Indy only to turn around and leave the Colts and return to New England with the idea that he might eventually take over for Bill Belichick. Didn't end up wanting to wait. So instead, he takes this job in Vegas, and I'm telling you, it was doomed from the beginning. He's not head coaching material, at least not now, and I don't know that he'll get another chance. But that was a waste of time. All it did was show Derek Carr the door and eventually Devontae Adams the door, and they still don't have a quarterback, and so it's a mess. They went with Antonio Pierce. That didn't last. Maybe he'll be a head coach at some point, but probably not ready. And the last legit head coach they had was John Gruden, who, of course, exited in the wake of those emails that were leaked by the NFL. So here they are again, and Max is talking about this revolving door, and what a disaster. Now, I would say the two most attractive coaching jobs, this is just my opinion, Chicago, because they've got pieces in place and because of Caleb Williams, and Ben Johnson said that it's his excitement to work with Caleb, but also Jacksonville. They do have a lot of pieces in place. It's just like they're wandering in the wilderness. And I don't know what happened to Doug Peterson, because when he first got there, they took off. Maybe it was issues with Trent Baalke. Maybe they had differences in philosophy, but once they, and I don't think it was on purpose, once they tanked at the end of the 23 season, they never recovered. They never recovered. They were 8-3 in 2023 and then fell off a cliff and never got it right again. Maybe it was stuff going on behind the scenes, and at some point we'll find out. But now Shad Khan, a month after he fires Doug Peterson, maybe not a month, a few weeks after he fires Doug Peterson, has decided, yes, in fact, we're going to move on from Trent Baalke. And this is really interesting. I can't wait to hear some of the reports coming out of Jacksonville. The initial reports, though, are that Shad Khan wanted Baalke to help him with the head coaching search, but was talking to candidates, and some of them, their feedback about Baalke and philosophy, it just didn't jive. So in order, well, he loses out on Liam Cohen, the guy he wanted from the Buccaneers, in order to feel like he's going to get a good coach. A coach is not going to turned down the job because of Balky and whatever philosophical differences. Remember what happened in San Francisco with Balky and Jim Harbaugh? They were like water and oil and fire and ice. And ultimately, Balky won that peeing on the fire hydrant contest. And the Niners lost out. They should have stuck with Harbaugh. Instead, he leaves and goes to Michigan. So now Balky is there in Jacksonville. And Shad Khan's decided, I'm cutting ties. So they don't get the head coach they want, but now they also have an opening at GM, which is kind of crazy. They're behind the eight ball. Meanwhile, the Titans, who have the number one overall pick, hire Mike Borgonzi to be their GM. He's got a lot of work to do for the roster.
My vision as a team builder is to draft and develop. We want to build a foundation of homegrown talent and reward those players that meet our standards. We will be relentless in our pursuit of building competition throughout the roster, whether that's the draft, free agency, waiver claims, or trades. And I think it's imperative that we build the right 53 on this roster as well, and not just collect talent. We need the right mixture of talent and character in order to build a championship-caliber team. We want a big physical team in the trenches that is fast and violent on the football field.
Violent.
We want players that love the game of football, that are smart, that are tough, that are dependable, and they believe in unity.
Too bad the organization let Mike Vrabel go, because that sounds a lot like him. He sounds nervous to me. Also, very dry mouth. Now, I don't know if that's him. We haven't heard him speak much, but you could tell by the way that, and sometimes that's nervousness. A dry mouth can come with anxiety.
Get him a bottle of water.
Right. Somebody give the man some water. He's dying there on the dais. Okay, so what about the number one pick, and what will the Titans do? Will they keep? Will they trade? They're going to get offers because there are very few quarterbacks. I don't know. I kind of think they still need a quarterback. I'm not a huge believer in Will Levis. He's all over the place. Now, maybe it's because of the lack of training. I don't know. We'll see what Brian Callahan can do in year two. However, there certainly are options with the number one pick.
It's early. We just started. You know, the first thing we're talking about is our roster. And then getting down to the Senior Bowl and the East-West actually first. So we're very early in those discussions.
You mentioned that all options are on the table. I imagine same thing in your eyes.
Yes. We're coming into this. I'm coming in with this an open mind. But we're going to evaluate every situation and make the best decision for us with that pick.
All right. In other words, not giving us any information. I don't know. Nashville. Is that where Deion and his son want to go? Well, not Deion. He's at Colorado. Unless the Titans think they can hire him along with his son. All righty then. We've got some QB news coming up. This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your home at Amazon. Wow, Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, AM's still a few days away from Championship Sunday, and of course the Chiefs and Bills, with Patrick Mahomes getting set to battle once again with Josh Allen.
You just have to know you're going to have to play your best football. I mean, I've played against Josh enough times to know that he's going to come out there and play great football, especially in those big moments. And so, for me, I have to play my best football whenever I get the opportunity to, and try to put our team in the best position to succeed. And if that's limiting turnover, if that's changing the field position, whatever that is, you have to find a way that day to win.
Flip side, Allen just trying to focus on the details as they try to dethrone the two-time champs.
One, have a good week of practice, making sure that what we're putting into the game plan, guys are understanding it and going out there and practicing hard. And then when we get on the field on Sunday, just trusting in the game plan, trusting in each other, and have fun playing the game.
Elsewhere, the last time the Jets were in the playoffs, they were in the AFC Championship game. Unfortunately for them, that was 2010. Now, Aaron Glenn will try to snap the postseason drought as he was named the new head coach for Gangrene, a former first-round pick and an all-pro corner with the Jets. Glenn spent the last 4 years in charge of the Lions' defense. Jaguars still in search for a new head coach as Liam Cohen pulled his name from consideration, returning to the Bucs as offensive coordinator. Now the Jaguars also need to fill the GM spot. They parted ways with Trent Baalke, despite initially keeping him on after they fired Doug Peterson. NBA, the Thunder erased the Jazz 123-114 as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander poured in 54. Celtics able to outlast the Clippers 117-113 in overtime. Jaylen Brown 25, Jason Tatum 24. Rockets upend the Cavs 109-108. Kings outscore the Warriors 123-117 as Domantas Sabonis at 26 points and 18 rebounds. T-Wolves wits to the Mavericks 115-114. Grizzlies roll the Hornets 132-120. Suns battered the Nets 108-84. Devin Booker 32. And the Pistons down the Hawks 114-104 behind 29-11 assists from Cade Cunningham. Off the court, the Heat are planning to suspend Jimmy Butler two more games for missing a team flight. Trade deadline, that's February 6th. We'll see if the Heat grant Butler his wish and get him out of Miami. In college hoops, Florida held off South Carolina 70-69. Houston overwhelmed Utah 70-36. Kansas 74, TCU 61. Texas A&M clipped Ole Miss 63-62. And St. John's outlasted Xavier in overtime 79-71. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown! Kansas City!
Three steps. Throwing. Lob. Left corner of the end zone. Touchdown!
Play action. Lob. Looking. Winds up. There Rainbows. Is. Watson there. Touchdown!
Yes!
And a Lambo leap.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Planning for the championship Sunday that's nearly upon us. First time in months, you guys, no football on Saturday. Wow, or Monday, actually. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We got a new poll up. Who's the best QB in the NFC North? We're going with J.J. McCarthy for the Vikings, even though Pete suggested just putting in Vikings quarterback. But Sam Darnold's a free agent. We believe they're going to go to J.J. All right, at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, you can vote there. Caleb Williams at the introduction to Ben Johnson. And he was there answering questions from reporters. They asked him, how did he find out the news that Ben was the new Bears coach?
Kevin, George, Ryan, and Ted all on the phone. And, I kind of, you know, said thank you to all of them. And then once I got off the phone, I was driving on the highway. And I don't know if it was safe or not, but I gave out a loud yell and scream of just, you know, excitement. Brings a bunch of clarity to the offseason. It brings a bunch of different things to the offseason. And, I'm really excited about, you know, obviously the Bears and, you know, this org and being able to, you know, make this happen and, you know, keep Ben Johnson as our coach for a long time. We talked, and it was you can see the competitiveness in his eyes and the fire in his eyes. And it was really cool seeing that.
Congratulations, Caleb Williams. You've got yourself the best of the litter, so to speak, the pick of the litter with Ben Johnson as the new head coach. So that's Caleb Williams. But is he the best quarterback in the NFC North? You can vote on our social media. Now turning our attention to the teams that are still playing, and we will start with the AFC, where Josh Allen understands what's at stake. How do you not? They've come so close to making the Super Bowl in the past. So what about the emotions of preparing for their next shot?
Early on, it was maybe anxiousness and eagerness, and while that's maybe still there a little bit, but also gratefulness to be back in this situation of having a chance to play in the Super Bowl. But obviously, you had to go put in the work and not cheat it, and you know, put your best foot forward to give yourself a shot. One, have a good week of practice, making sure that what we're putting into the game plan, guys are understanding it, and going out there and practicing hard. And then when we get on the field on Sunday, just trusting in the game plan, trusting in each other, and have fun playing the game.
Just two really good football teams going up against each other. They have great players at every level on both sides of the ball, and they're well coached. And so when you play great football teams like that, it kind of usually ends with kind of that split type of deal there. And so we've been able to beat them in the playoffs, and they've gotten us in the regular season. But if you look at the games, every game's close. So it just comes down to a play here or there that kind of usually that makes an impact on the outcome.
So much emotion going into this AFC championship and two opponents who know each other well, though obviously the Bills defense is different than the one the Chiefs have faced in the postseason prior to this. Now, the questions for Patrick Mahomes about whether or not he and the Chiefs are getting more favorable calls from the guys in stripes.
I don't feel that way. I mean, I just try to play football at the end of the day. The referees are doing their best to to call the game as fair and as proper as they possibly can. And all you can do is go out there and play the game that you love as hard as you can and live with the results. And so for me, it's to go out there, play hard, try to do whatever I can to win the football game, and then live with the results based off my effort and the way that we played the game. And so I think that's what we preach here in Kansas City.
The questions persisted, though, especially in light of what happened against Houston with a couple of judgment calls for roughing the passer that Troy Aikman didn't agree with, and so fans went nuts over it. So are they getting the benefit of the doubt from referees?
I haven't felt any different. You get new referees every year. You get new circumstances, and you never can and you never can really tell because every play is different. That's what makes the NFL so special. And so I feel like I've just continued to play the game, and I just try to win. And whatever happens kind of happens.
I know the fans don't agree. It's a popular hot take right now. So we'll see what happens in the AFC Championship. However, being at home definitely does have that atmosphere for Arrowhead. You've got the crowd, the massive crowd behind you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now turning our attention to the NFC, Jaden Daniels. Very few rookie quarterbacks have even started a championship game. And here he is with the Commanders.
It's a blessing to make it this far in the season. You know, there's countless, a lot of, I know teams want to be in this position, so it's a blessing. Can't really take it for granted, but you also just got to be in the moment and, you know, take it one day at a time.
What about the offense? The approach against a defense as tough and physical as the Eagles?
We're just trying to play clean football, give ourselves the best opportunity to go out there and win games, whether that's me trying to not have negative plays on first and second down. We drop back and throw the ball, stuff's not there. Or, you know, be able to just all be on the same page, whether it's a run game or everything. We're just trying to play clean football and give ourselves the best chance.
Considering what they saw by the Lions in Detroit with 5 turnovers and the number of games that have been completely flipped on their heads in these postseason, this postseason so far by turnovers, that is the number one thing that you need to do as an offense is take care of the football. All right, what about Jalen Hurts? Remember, he ended the third quarter in their last game, their divisional game. He has a guy roll up on his knee. His leg gets twisted underneath him. He finishes the game with a brace. So how does it feel?
You're always watching ball. You know, we watch, you see the game on. We played Saturday and we played the next day and doing meetings in passing, and you definitely see all the competition out there and everyone going out there and competing. And you know, we know this is a really good team. They got, you know, great quarterback, great wideouts, and a well-coached group. So it'd be a great challenge for us.
Now, see, your girl screwed up. I was thinking about his knee. He wanted to talk about the Commanders. So that's his thoughts on Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. But the knee, what about the knee, Jalen?
That's just been progressing, taking it a day at a time. Was able to participate today and be involved and stuff, so just taking it a day at a time.
The follow-up with the reporters is whether or not he thinks he's on track to play this weekend, and he said, yeah. One more, and that's not so much about Jaden and what the offense is doing, but how about the Commanders' defense?
Really well-coached group. They fly to the ball. They affect the passer. Got great defensive backs. I think they're a great team, obviously, to be playing consistent ball like they have. They're a really good team. Really, really good group on defense for sure.
Dan Quinn. It's good to hear him earlier get a little spicy about people dismissing the Commanders, even though they made it to the playoffs. Hey, all right then. Well, you know, better luck next year, even before they had bowed out. So love what we've got on Championship Sunday. But there is a bittersweet element to it as well, because get this, we have just 11 shows. Wait, it's 11 shows, 12 shows. 12 shows after this one before the football season is done. That's it. We are coming down to the nitty gritty, though, of course, the pressure and the interest ramps up as we get to the Super Bowl with, what, one third of our nation tuning in to watch the game in some way or another. Glad to have you with us. Who's the best quarterback in the NFC North? The poll is up. Jordan, Jared, JJ. Oh, haha. And Caleb Williams. So I always vote for the guy that gets the fewest amount of votes, I feel like. But I do think long-term and with his coach now, Caleb Williams is the one. Something else that caught my attention, too, We've been talking about this. We can maybe go into it a little more on our next show. But the national championship game in college football, I've been saying this to you for months now. This is the wrong spot for them to hold the national championship on a Monday following the NFL divisional weekend. I feel like they spread the playoffs out way too much. People lose interest. We know the news cycle spins rapidly. It maybe wasn't supposed to be on Inauguration Day and MLK Day, but it turned out that way 10 days after the semifinals, and the numbers were down. It was the most watched college football game of the season, but it was a double-digit drop in viewership from a year ago. So the Buckeyes' second national championship in this college football playoff era, remember, it was their first one since 2014, averaged just over 22 million viewers. So yes, outside of the NFL, most watched sporting event over the past year, but a 12% drop from Michigan and Washington in 2024. Now remember, that one was at the end of the regular season, right? So it was, it wasn't quite so late in January when people kind of move on and they tend to be paying attention to the NFL. So I think college football needs to tweak that. We'll see. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.